This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Wednesday, and I'm here with Joy Behar. This is Behind the Table. All right, Joy, it is a big day today. This was an exciting day. The sitting vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, was here. I thought it was a great interview. What were your takeaways?
I'm glad she came this time, and she was able to really hold her own, I thought.
I thought she did great. I mean, these were not easy questions. I think there's a feeling like, because several of the panelists are supporters of the president, that this would be an easy interview. But I think you guys had challenging questions that she met the challenge for.
Well, she needs to prove to the country that she could be president, God forbid, if anything happened to Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And that's true of any vice president, not just this one. Because he happens to be 81 years old. I mean, everybody's harping on that. Meanwhile, the other guy is doddering, in my opinion.
Well, you came in. I think that was the thing you were most interested in talking to her about.
Well, because that's all I hear, because that's all they have on the right wing. Because the guy has done so much for the country, Biden. Mm-hmm. And yet I hear people say, well, he's done a lot for the other guy, did a lot for the country. What did he do? What did he do? His policy on COVID was horrible. He never built the wall that he promised. Even Ann Coulter turned on him for that.
Well, with COVID.
So what did he do exactly?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always interesting with COVID because the people that are upset with Dr. Fauci, as Alyssa's pointed out many times.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, I mean, I like Dr. Fauci quite a bit, but Donald Trump's the one who empowered Dr. Fauci and followed his guidance. So who are you mad at? People, the timeline gets very muddled for people.
Why are they mad at him in the first place when he was basically trying to save your ass?
Sure. No, I agree. I mean, we have these kind of big interviews often. You've sat down with many presidents and
every
vice presidents.
I've met Clinton several times, not just here. Mm-hmm. And Hillary, of course, Clinton. And Jimmy Carter was on The View. Obama was on The View.
I know you never met, you never had him on the show, but do you ever meet W. Bush?
No. I was glad I never met him because when he was in office, I was very much against what he was doing in Iraq.
Sure.
But I knew that he was going to be – that he's a charmer and fun. So mm-hmm. I didn't want to meet him because it would taint my opinion of him.
Yeah.
But now that that's all over, he's fine.
Yeah, he can come on and talk about his paintings. We can do
it. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have any – I don't hold grudges.
No.
Although if I was somebody who lost my life in Iraq, a mother of one of those boys, I might have been – I might not feel so sanguine.
On a day when you wake up and we have someone here, is this an exciting day for you? Do you think about it a lot? Do you feel like you have a responsibility to ask big questions? And
no.
No?
No.
Your thought process is the same as if we have, you know, Mario Cantone on? It's kind of the same vibe?
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you've been doing it a long time. I guess not a lot of things rattle you. I got up. I was charged this morning. I was nervous, excited. I was very happy about it. But I do feel a responsibility to make sure that, because the show represents these different perspectives, to make sure that we're asking the questions that the people at home want asked, whether they're supporters or concerned or challenging.
Right.
And
I think
it's interesting that I think we do people a disservice if we don't ask tough questions, even if we agree with them.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Well, the press does ask tough questions. They ask Nikki Haley, is this a racist country? And she doesn't give an authentic answer.
Right.
So when they come on this show, if they didn't give an authentic answer, we could do a follow-up.
Yes.
You know, what if she was here and she said, no, the country was never racist ever. I said, well, what about slavery? That would come right out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But
in a Q&A, it's different.
Yeah, but those people don't come on the show.
No. Well, hopefully they will. I mean, there's still time. I'd love to have Nikki Haley on the show.
Well, eventually she might come on.
I don't know if you remember this, but when we first got back from break, you were saying what you wanted more than anything else was every week to have one big political guest.
I do like that.
And since you said that, we've had Chris Christie, Liz Cheney, the vice president of the United States. So
we're
doing it. I'm working on it. Nothing
like,
to
who do you have
yet.
In mind?
I'd like to have Nikki Haley very much.
Nikki Haley. I don't think she'll come on yet.
I think she needs to. And I think if she was running for president, as you know, generally speaking, people don't get elected president if they're not on the show during
Absolutely.
The campaign.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what happened to Hillary Clinton. She was advised by people to not come on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that is a big mistake.
She did come on, but she didn't only came on the one time.
Because I know her from various incarnations, Hillary Clinton. And she's warm and funny and friendly. And that's where you show those cards, is on this show.
Yeah. No, I think so, for sure. And then, you know, the President Biden was on before.
Yes.
Donald Trump even called in before he was elected.
That's true.
Yeah, you have to face your critics and you have to face tough conversations.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of Republicans on this year, and we'll continue to, and they're fair conversations.
Good.
And you like it more than anyone.
I do.
Yeah. One thing that made me laugh this morning when I met with the VP, she was admiring our mug. And she was excited because we had six people today. And she said, I get the full mug today, which made me laugh quite a bit.
Did you give her one?
Yeah, of course.
Or did you say, I'm sorry, it's a prop?
No, she gets to take it home if she wants. It's fun. The mug's a big hit with people.
How about one for the president? He might have liked one, too.
Well, I think he's got to come and get one.
That would be good to get Joe Biden on the show.
I suspect it'll happen.
He's going to come on.
I think so. I mean, he certainly, you know, he hasn't been on since he won, but he was on several times during the last campaign, both in person and via remote. So hopefully we'll get him. And there's a lot to talk to him about, too. We got 10 months to go, but we're really in it now.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the other thing the vice president said today was that she was scared as heck at the prospect that Trump could be president again. Did that surprise you that she would say that out loud?
That she would say it out loud?
Yeah. It mirrors what Michelle Obama said.
She needs to say it out loud.
Yeah.
That there is palpable fear in the country on the left, or people with who are watching what's going on, people in the middle, not people on the right. They're all in for him. But there's nothing you can do about that.
But I think, does that give an impression that she's not confident they're going to win?
Oh, well, listen, you know, it's, you know, Whoopi likes to say it's on us. Mm-hmm. She talks about that a lot on the show. The truth of the matter, you have an electoral college. You know, the Republican Party hasn't won the popular vote for decades. They never win the popular vote, but they can win the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this gerrymandering where you get people like Marjorie Taylor Greene in there, even if everybody else doesn't want her, because she's in the right district. She gets to have power in Congress. Those are things. And then there's third party candidates who are popping up all over the place.
Right.
And I don't know if, you know, those I'm old enough to remember Ralph Nader, who spoiled it for Al Gore.
Yeah. No.
So I don't believe that it's just, yes, you should be frightened, not because you're not competent, not because Joe Biden is not doing a great job, but because of the system, which is rigged against democracy in a certain way. It is.
Well, it's weighted in certain ways, I think. All right. So let's switch some gears to some lighter topics, which I know you enjoy. And we didn't get a chance to do any today.
No.
Yesterday, we talked about if you should ever tell your friend that you don't like their husband or partner. We did it with Sarah in the podcast yesterday.
And what did she say?
She said that, no, you shouldn't. But she's done it in her personal life and has regretted it.
So she has regretted it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the person turned on her.
Person's upset. Yeah.
Well, you take the risk. It's like, do you tell the truth and possibly lose a friend and maybe save her life? Or do you take the coward's way out and not tell the truth?
It's hard to imagine that you telling the truth would really change the end result, though. Do you think you think there are people in your life that were going to get married, but if you don't like them and say something bad, they'll take it out?
You know, it's funny about that, because all of my close friends have self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, they would not be in a situation where they would be going out with some kind of drug addict or alcoholic. I don't think so. Not anybody I can think of.
I have friends that have given, like our friend Robin, our mutual friend, Hummel, who is the executive broadcast producer and a very skilled producer who runs our Hot Topics team.
Yes.
When she and I have been friends for a long time. And when we would go out occasionally in a group, and I would be bringing dates along before I met my wife. And Robin was never shy to tell me how she felt about someone I was bringing.
Well, that was before there was a commitment.
Yeah. Well, this was early on.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Yes.
She would. I remember one particular night we were out and she pulled me aside and said, Brian, you need to get rid of this one. She brings nothing to the table. Uh-huh. That was her takeaway.
And you married her? No.
No. And that was my wife, Heather. No, it was it. But she was very. But I resented her saying it, but at the same time, she was right. Yeah, a little bit.
Why? Because you were hot for her.
I liked the girl. Yeah, but it was. But she was right. She brought nothing to the table, and I moved on.
Yeah, but that story that you brought up here is about an engaged person.
Yes, it's a little
not
more
just
valid
on the first date.
Right. So I think that's the trick. You have to speak your mind early. We'll be right back after this. Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We also had a topic on the show today about open marriages.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Sarah about this yesterday, and she said that she couldn't do it because she'd be jealous, that she respects the idea of it and sees value in it, but that the jealousy would be a problem for her. What about you? You're not a jealous person, but if Steve came to you and said he wanted that, what would you say?
I'm not an envious person, but I could be jealous.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference. I don't envy what people have or get in the world. Let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
But if my husband's now falling in love, see, the problem with these
things.
Well,
it's not love, I don't think.
Well, these kinds of liaisons often can turn into like a real love affair.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, you know, they're tuning up their car instead of yours.
Okay, I understand that. Yeah.
Or they're closing the storm windows on their house and not mine. So I don't approve of that kind of behavior exactly.
Right.
And it's not an affair.
No.
An affair is treacherous, but fun.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. So the joy of an affair for you is the scariness of it.
Well, an affair is different. Adultery, the reason it's so popular is because it's fun to commit adultery. Let's face facts. People deny that, but it's true. Doesn't mean I would do it.
Sure, I'm just of course. Saying, but you see the appeal.
On observation, I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps you going.
Yeah.
Especially after many years with the same person, and then you're getting bored.
The threat of getting caught.
The possibility of getting caught keeps the anxiety level high.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think it's a great idea.
No.
But marriage is difficult. It's very hard.
Marriage is
difficult. To stay tuned into that person for many, 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 many years, including the sexuality part,
sure.
Which is hard.
Marriage is difficult. I think I got enough stress in my life to have to worry about getting
that's
caught for cheating.
Too, yeah.
I'm not wanting for extra stress.
If I've met your wife and I really, really would guard against you going off with somebody else.
Yeah. No, I think.
Heather would not put up with this.
No.
She would have your ass on a stick.
Yeah. I think that's accurate. She certainly, as I've often said, I don't think there'd be no second chances. But there'd be swift vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be out the door.
Yes.
And she'd take the kids with her.
Yes.
Yes. So be careful.
Yeah. All right. I'm on it. I mean, that's not the only reason I'm not going to cheat, but that's a good reason. All right. Speaking about relationships.
Yeah.
We talked about this in the Hot Topics meeting. There was a story about a woman who wasn't sure she should give up her new job and move to another state with her boyfriend. Mm. They're both lawyers, and she doesn't want to regret giving up a good relationship for a job. What do you think about this? Would you, I mean, you're a career-minded person in several respects.
Well, I have my own story, but, you know, I gave up my life in New York to move to Rhode Island with my husband,
mm-hmm.
my first husband,
right,
who was a professor in Rhode Island, and I didn't like it. I worked for 2 years to get him back in New York.
Yeah.
Which it worked.
Were you conflicted initially about it, or you just moved and felt like it wasn't working?
I did not want to go.
Right.
I was just being the dutiful wife. I look back on it, and I shouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
I betrayed myself. I should have said, listen, I'm staying here. I have my job here. I have my friends, my family. I do not want to move to Rhode Island.
What were you doing at the time? Were you teaching?
I was actually an employment counselor.
Oh.
I've had many jobs.
Yeah.
Until I was 40, I had a million jobs.
Wow. And so, and were you still thinking about performing at that point, or was that?
No. It never occurred to me.
Wow. Okay.
Just funny at parties.
Yeah.
And I thought, I have to monetize this.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So then you made the decision. But so you moved to Rhode Island, you're miserable, and you got to get back.
Yeah.
And how'd you do
it? So I don't think that women don't necessarily move for their husbands anymore because their careers are just as important as theirs.
Sure.
At that time, I didn't really have a career as much as he did. I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a career. He was a professor, you know?
I got offered a job when I was engaged in Los Angeles, and my wife was open to moving out there, but wasn't thrilled about it. But then they were trying to get me so hard that they promised her a job on the Ellen DeGeneres Show as a production assistant.
Oh.
She was really into that.
Well, that's a good compromise.
That was a good compromise.
Yeah, that worked.
And then fortunately, I got my job at the Letterman Show. And then you got back. And I turned it down and didn't move. And then she was a little annoyed. She didn't get to go to work for Ellen. So, you know.
You can't win.
No, I can't win. All right. Julia Roberts recently did an interview where she said, I'm very forthright. There are lots of personalities in the world that don't accept that easily. And it can seem really harsh. Even if I feel like I'm just being honest about something and saying this is how I see it.
Are you describing me now?
Well, let's finish
the quote. Is that what your point is here?
Let me finish the quote. No, because the next part is I'm never trying to be unkind. Now, I personally find you, Joy Behar, to be a very honest person. Does being an honest person lead you to trouble sometimes?
My mother used to say, good luck with your mouth. Okay?
You're unfiltered.
I say things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to be honest as possible.
No, I think that's fine. Let's talk about something you're excited about. We have Clive Owen coming on the
show.
He's on the show this week.
Yes.
What do you...
He has a series called Second Sight on BritBox.
I haven't seen it. You love that BritBox.
Well, because the Brits know what they're doing with all this stuff, especially with the detectives. That's their greatest contribution, besides historical drama.
Is it about British television that you enjoy?
It's well done. Mm-hmm. The actors... First of all, the thing about, listen, if I was British, I would have been an actress.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Because in Britain, you can work constantly and until you're in the grave.
Yes.
In this country, your life is over at a certain point. The possibilities are limited. If you're an old person there who's doddering, you can be in a Charles Dickens movie. They'll give it to you. Here, no. So, and he played a guy who was... going into blindness, but he was a detective solving crimes. Second sight, get it?
Okay, I get it.
But he had insight,
mm-hmm.
but not real sight.
Right. If it was an American show, he'd have telepathic powers. And
exactly, something
sight.
Like that.
Exactly.
Or ETs would come down and give him his sight back.
Yeah.
But this is Clive Owen and that show. And then he's in this new show, Monsieur Spade, where he plays an American.
Yes, that's what we're having him on for.
Yeah.
And so you're excited for that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, Jodie Foster, Oscar Award winner, never been on the show before.
Right. That's exciting. Her. Very good actress.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of, and that's a detective show that I think you would like, True Detective. So that's a good show too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's an American show.
It is, but I think you'd like it.
Okay.
I think you'd like it. So
I mean, I don't put down all American shows.
No.
I like them, but the Brits have a particular way with it. You know, they have Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a show called Cracker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written by a guy named Jimmy McGovern. It's just the best detective show. This huge guy plays a shrink who solves crimes. Robbie Coltrane, his name is, and he died this past year That series, you should check it out. Then there's something called Foil.
I know him from Harry Potter. That's my level of...
I never saw that.
I know.
Then there's also a Foil. I'm just recommending to people.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Wonderful shows. Foil's War, which is about a detective during World War II in a town in England called Hastings, where he has to solve local crimes. They're a little bit connected to World War II. I liked Sherlock Holmes with Jeremy Brett.
I've seen those.
That group.
Yeah.
And then there's Poirot with David Suchet.
Mm-hmm.
These are great detective shows. I love Linley. Detective Linley is another one that I like.
What else have you liked recently? Any movies? It's Oscar season. Is there anything
well,
you really
appeal to? I don't really like these long movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put anything down. I love Scorsese, but that movie's a little long. The same with Oppenheimer.
Yeah. I love Scorsese, too. You and I have often talked about some of his movies.
The greatest.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the Italian-Americans, they're very good directors.
Absolutely.
Coppola, Sofia, and her father, and Scorsese.
I'd love to have Scorsese come on this year for that movie. He's a great interview.
You think we would get him on?
We're asking. I'd love to have him.
Well, De Niro's come on the show.
Many times, yeah. And I've interviewed Scorsese before, and he's just a terrific interview, although he got annoyed. All I wanted to talk to him about was Goodfellas, and he said, you know, I've made other movies. Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, he made Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which is not exactly in the usual genre.
No, he does all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, violence and crime with him. He can do anything.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you for joining me, Joy. Tomorrow, I will be back on the show with Alyssa. In the meantime, we have this hotline that we've started. We talked about this. If you have a question or you want advice from Joy, I'm going to say just Joy. Check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline, because I think you have good advice and I think people do want your advice.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's
good. Well, I have the benefit of age.
And honesty. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.